Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
For the Astros, really, it's been their bullpen has been not so good, and it was supposed to be a strength. They've added the depth, and it just has not worked out. They're going to be fine. Their roster says that they're going to be fine, but it's not a start they're used to.
Fly ball, onto the track, at the wall, it's gone! Home run!
Thompson a ball, deep right field, and gone!
What a game, what a moment.
All right, and I am pumped to welcome on now Hall of Famer John Smoltz, as I do every single Saturday. John, first off, thanks for joining me, as always, my friend.
My pleasure. Another week, another story, and more baseball is... I think we're just getting into the meat of the baseball season.
I agree. But before we get into baseball here, we got to ask, we talked last week, you played in the Pro-Am in Texas. How did it go? Give us the rundown of how it all went.
Yeah, so it turned into a two-round tournament. We got washed out day two. After day one, I was three shots back of yours truly, Marty Pish, the best player on our tour. And on the final round, I had the tournament won until the 18th hole. It's another life lesson. I did get kind of a bad break. That's golf. I was up by 2 points going into the 18th hole. If I par, he cannot beat me. It's a par five. I slipped on my tee shot, which is fine. Ball went left, hit the cart path, went 20 yards left, out of bounds by 6 inches. I ended up having a 9-foot bogey putt after hitting my, you know, three off the tee.
Yeah.
I lipped it out, and Marty, as only Marty can do, birdied the last hole to beat me by 1 point. So along the lines of the Atlanta Braves career that I was so blessed to be part of, I finished second again.
And it had to be to Marty, of course.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, let's talk some baseball. We've seen recently some talk about Paul Skenes and AAA and just how dominant he's been. He's had four starts down there. Not a ton. 22 and a third innings. Not a lot. But punched, or 12 and a third innings, but punched out 27 guys. The numbers are ridiculous. And there's a lot of talk of if he should be called up to the majors, what he's doing down there in the minors still, why he's there, what the Pirates are doing. So what's your perspective on not necessarily just Paul Skenes, but we'll talk about him and how teams should handle young pitchers, and if you think a guy like Paul Skenes should be in the big leagues right now?
Well, college pitchers versus high school pitchers are a different story. I think they're more prepared to be in the big leagues and eat up big league innings and learn at that level. You know, all this stuff about controlling innings and we're going to control the injury rate, that goes right out the window, right? So we're not, that's not something that works. It used to be that you would season a pitcher long enough to get him ready for the big leagues. And now guys are being immersed or thrust into the league because of necessity. I think this is more about along the lines of controlling salary as well as giving him some, you know, some feet under him. A pitcher's a little bit different than a position player. I would like to see the game change a little bit in the pitching realm. If we're going to get them ready, let's get them ready. And then when they get called up, no limits. But you know that's not the case. He's going to get called up. He's going to have limits. Those innings still count in the minor leagues. If he's ready, why not have him in the big leagues and have those innings be productive? So this has been a process for years. I know they've made some tweaks in the labor negotiations to reward some of these players that teams have suppressed their, because they got more control if they hold them out to a certain date. We've seen it. We've seen it with Soto, Harper. We've seen it with everybody. This is not a surprise. But when you have a guy this good and he's dominating that much, I know the Pirates fans got to be just drooling to see him get to the big leagues And I think there's better on-job training there than there is in the minor leagues for any stud pitcher. Somebody who's not ready, yes, let him marinate there more and get him ready to get the job done at the highest level.
When I was coming up through the minors, I came out of college, and most of the guys I got drafted with, or at least that I played with in the first year, were out of college as well. And even starting that next year, you would see guys, if they were, you know, drafted high enough, the lower draft guys, it's funny. It's like, there's no innings limit on them. Let's see what you can do. But the higher drafted guys, they would throw 2 innings at a time, 3 innings at a time, and then they're pulled. And it just kind of seemed like the theme, and other teams were doing it as well. So when you were coming up through Tigers organization early on, and then Braves organization, what was your build up process like? How did they help build up a young pitcher?
Yeah, it was different then. We had no limitations. There was never a point in A ball, double A, or triple A that I was told you have only so many starts and so many innings. So I pitched a full campaign. Now, I did get hurt a little bit in single A. I had a little forearm tendonitis. But after that, there was no limitations at all. When I got called up from the Atlanta Braves, I was having a really good first half. I think I was 11-5 or 12-5. Interestingly enough, didn't make the triple A all-star team, which kind of rubbed me the wrong way back then, but I'm over it now. But there was no limitations when I got to the big leagues. My first start, I went 8 innings. My next start, I went into the 9th inning, you know, and then I didn't get out of the 3rd inning 3 starts in a row because of my performance. But I think that was just such so far long ago that the expectations were so different. I hear you. I mean, I really dislike the 2 and 3 innings. Nobody gets in and out of trouble. Nobody learns. And it's really that same kind of mantra that we've been talking about that we know doesn't work, but they're going to stick with it until there's a really shift philosophically in how they develop these pitchers.
It really is just mind-blowing to me how you can look back when you were coming up and no limit and not near the amount of Tommy John surgeries happening, and now it's almost like they play it so cautious on the front end, and the second the leash is taken off, if you will, we're seeing all these injuries because I don't think they're preparing the same in the minor leagues, honestly.
And we talked about this. The laughable part is at the end of the season, none of those limits count. When you get to the postseason and you have to have a young staff, kind of, that's why we don't see any of these great young teams potentially with a young staff ever make it too far. Because what are you going to do with those guys who don't have the opportunity to go beyond? And I get it. We're not talking, no one should go 70 innings more than the year before, but there is this kind of algorithm that they figured out that's what they go by. And there's no scientific data behind it, but that's what they go by. And that's what we have.
If there's an algorithm that doesn't work and there's no scientific data behind it, maybe we need a new algorithm, but I'm no genius. Yeah. So maybe a different conversation for a different day. John, neither the Dodgers nor to a bigger degree, the Astros have really played to their potential yet this season. With the Astros, it's been downright bad. The Dodgers have been somewhat mediocre for the majority of the season. What have you seen from these two usually very dominant teams throughout the regular season that has potentially caused their slow starts to the year?
Yeah, a little bit of the same for both in the fact that their starting rotation's not really set yet. That kind of resets your club and gets in a rhythm every 5 days. You're not asking somebody else to kind of get in the mix. For the Astros, really, it's been their bullpen has been not so good, and it was supposed to be a strength. They've added the depth, and it just has not worked out. They're going to be fine. Their roster says that they're going to be fine, but it's not a start they're used to. And so there'll be some questions, new manager, all those things that kind of come about, you know, last year not playing well at home, all the carryover effect. I still think they're going to be fine. Their everyday lineup is too balanced and too good. And then once they get their starting rotation clicking, I think they're still the team in the West that's going to have a say in the division and in the playoffs. For the Dodgers, it's a little bit more of a top-heavy lineup. If you just look at the top four and really go after that, there's not much that's being successful. And it's really a lot of pressure on that top four. It's a great top four. Might be the best top four in baseball. But that's a lot of pressure. If that lineup doesn't have more depth to it, then they've got more pitchability to some of the greatest players in the game. And I think the fact that the Dodgers know that every team's going to actually give it, you know, they want to beat the Dodgers because of their expectation. I think we've seen this before. They started out slow a couple times and went on a historic like 25-5 run. I see there's going to be one of those runs, but in fairness, the West is more balanced than we thought. Yeah. You know, the Padres are playing well, the Giants are playing well, and of course the Diamondbacks and what they did last year. So a lot of pressure on the Dodgers, but I don't think that's going to carry over much more past this next month. And, you know, again, they got to get some help in the rest of their lineup. They can't just top dominate and expect that teams are going to keep pitching to some of these guys unless, you know, somebody else gets hot. They're going to have that inconsistency yeah. that's shown up now.
So you think in the AL West, even with their abysmal start, you still would take the Astros in that division?
I think I would say that nobody's run away and made it difficult. I think what, 3.5-4 games back? I mean, the Rangers are 1 or 2 games over 500. So, you know, the start of the season's like the start of a golf tournament. You can't really win a golf tournament in the beginning, but boy, you could put yourself in a nice position. And I think that's the one thing that the AL West, when you see the Astros start out like that, and then you look and go, oh man, we're only 3 games ahead of them, you start wondering about the Scotty Scheffler's coming behind you that's going to make a run like he has. And there's some parallel there. When you're a really good team and you haven't been put in a really big hole, you don't sweat that at all.
You know what they say about those golf analogies as well, John. As long as you don't slip on the 18th tee box and hit it 6 inches out of bounds, you'll be just fine.
I tell you what, I have grown up because when we went to dinner that night, in the past, I would not have eaten. I wouldn't have shown up, and I would have just curled up in the corner of my hotel room.
All right, last one for you. On Sunday, this past weekend, we saw Aaron Boone get ejected from the game. There's a video of him in the dugout. He's looking down at his nails and doesn't say a single word, and he gets ejected from the game. And for those that haven't seen it, the video also shows that the fan right behind Aaron Boone in the front row was heckling the umpire. The umpire hears that, turns over, throws out Aaron Boone, and says, "I don't care who it was, you're gone." And after the game said that he doesn't like throwing out players. Everyone in that dugout is Aaron Boone's control, and he threw him out because he's the manager, although it was a fan in the first row of the stand. So my question for you, John, what is the worst or most ridiculous or unnecessary ejection that you ever saw in your career?
Yeah, first, I got to say this. We got to fix that. You know how we can overturn calls and we can make the right thing based on – I think there are times where an umpire is human nature, you know, ejects somebody wrongfully, and they need to figure out there has to be a reverse to that. And the reason I say that is it might only come up 5 out of 100 times, but if it's egregious and it's, you know, there's nothing you can do if you're Aaron Boone. That's the worst part.
Yeah.
So my version is the time I got thrown out and it cost me a game. We won the game. But I got thrown out because the umpire stepped on my foot and immediately threw me out. And I'm sitting here going, you got to be kidding me. He said that I bumped him, never touched him. They spot shadow. They showed it afterwards. He rotated around. There was a play at third. I was backing up. I came in, pointed that the guy slid over the bag and that he came around, stepped on my foot and immediately threw me out of the game. Now, this is in the fourth inning of a 6-7 run game. And again, there's nothing that can be reversed. My manager comes out because now I'm heated. I am going toe-to-toe with Hunter Wendelstadt, telling him, like, I said, you stepped on my toe. And my manager pushed me apart and pushed the umpire apart. And he threw out Bobby Cox right immediately. So it became an absolute ridiculous situation of which I stood on the mound with my arms crossed because Bobby told me I'm not coming out of the game. Obviously I had to come out of the game and there was no reversing that call. But to me, I think there are times like that where you know, again, if we have the ability to see certain things on the field, then we should have the ability in isolated cases to be able to reverse that if everyone else can see that it was wrong.
John, can I give you one guess as to who threw out Aaron Boone?
No way. Hunter Wendelstadt?
Hunter Wendelstadt.
Well, I know when that happened, he did get sent down. Of course, you know, he's the son of an umpire, of course. And there was no fine for me. I didn't get suspended. And all I did was lose a game that I had yeah, well in hand.
Oh, man, I can't believe it was the same umpire. That is
you
from
know what's basketball. Ironic is I've been thrown out three times, and not one time have I been had to pay a fine. I got thrown out another time. I ran down to see if the umpire missed the call in the replay. Mm-hmm. I came back up. He was at first base. He covered up the area where the ball had hit. And I yelled, because I'm loud, I said, "You missed the call." And he said, "What did you say?" I said, "You missed the call." And he threw me out. So I've got two. I got two egregious ejections that there was no warrant for it. I didn't cuss. I didn't say anything derogatory. I just stated a fact.
John, always a pleasure, my friend. Sorry about the second place finish, but sounds like you played really well on that second day of the tournament, and appreciate you joining me as you do every week.
No problem. If you're not first, you're last.
It's a wise quote, my friend. All right, until next week, John. All right, just wanted to thank John Smoltz again for joining me, as he does every single Saturday. So if you never listened to Saturday with Smoltz before this one, keep doing it. He does join me every single week, and I cannot believe that Hunter Wendelstedt is the same umpire that threw out Aaron Boone, that threw out John Smoltz in a ridiculous situation all of those years ago. What an absolutely incredible ending to this story. So honestly, every week is telling stories, talking about things that happened in the game of baseball throughout the week, like the Paul Skeens situation. Appreciate you all for listening. Make sure you like, subscribe, follow wherever you listen to your podcast, Apple, Spotify, wherever. You can also watch everything we do on Spotify and on YouTube as well at Flippin' Bats Pod there. We're also on TikTok, where we are really close to 100,000 followers and want 100,000 followers. So make sure you follow us over there. We post a lot of cool stuff there. But that does it for this episode. Thank you all for listening to Saturday with Smoltz. Until Monday, my friends, remember, find your bat and flip it. Peace.